This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. And now here's tape from a presentation that much of the world watched and heard this week.
We're inspecting the ammunition you have, yes? We sent you a message yesterday to clean out all the areas, the scrap areas, the abandoned areas. Make sure there is nothing there. Remember the first message. Evacuate it. This is all part of a system of hiding things and moving things out of the way and making sure they have left nothing behind.
U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell before the U.N. Security Council on Wednesday, translating an intercepted phone call between Iraqi officials. Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Scott.
And, of course, Secretary Powell, after the appearance at the U.N. Wednesday, Thursday testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. How do you assess the success he had in persuading members of the Security Council, or for that matter, the American public, or for that matter, the public abroad of his case?
Well, let me divide that. Homey clearly scored a big 10. There was a poll I was taking that showed that 61% of Americans would now support a war against Iraq, up in a day from 54%. And you know that somebody has scored when Mary McGrory writes a column headed, "I Am Persuaded," right? So that was very Outspoken liberal columnist Mary McGrory. Do we have to describe Mary? Everybody knows Mary McGrory.
Well, everybody has read Mary. I don't think we need to describe her. A very beautiful woman, we'll say, too.
There you go. Powell basically had to make three points. One, that the Iraqis have been making weapons of mass destruction, where I think his evidence was stronger on biological and chemical than on the nuclear side. Secondly, that they've been concealing those weapons and continue concealing them even while the inspectors are there. And thirdly, that Saddam Hussein has links to terrorists who have some camp up in northern Iraq. I think that the Powell was quite persuasive at home and less so in France and Germany, old Europe, as Secretary Don Rumsfeld calls it. A German news magazine, Der Spiegel, reports today that France and Germany are working on a proposal to have the inspectors' contingent provided with military support, which reminds me of a proposal for something called coercive inspection that was made some months ago by the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. It didn't fly with the Bush administration then. I don't think it'll fly with them now.
What about Iraq?
Iraq, I mean, I can't get into the mind of Saddam Hussein, but I cannot see why he would say that you can come here and basically occupy the country. It's like saying, compared to war and occupation, I'm willing to take occupation without war. I don't see that happening.
Thursday, President Bush appeared with Secretary Powell on the White House lawn, and he said to reporters, quote, "The game is over. 101st Airborne Division has been ordered to the Persian Gulf. There's a large contingent of British Royal Marines. These are not units that are known for sitting around more than a few weeks." Is in fact the game over? Or is all we're now talking about is establishing a date for operations to begin?
Well, if it's not the end of the game, then the game is certainly now in overtime. The Bush administration has become very, very impatient with proposals for peaceful resolution. Secretary Rumsfeld, who's been traveling, talking to the troops, is talking of a war that could last 6 days or 6 weeks, but not 6 months. The Bush administration would like to get another United Nations resolution, which would be more explicit about endorsing war than the first one, but making clear at the same time it doesn't depend on getting such a resolution. You know, it seems to me that as we near the beginning of March, we're getting to sort of go or no-go time, and I have a feeling, don't ask me what it's based on, that we're headed towards go.
Not altogether unrelated, certainly. Attorney General Ashcroft has put the country on orange alert. This is the second highest terrorism alert. This color code can be confusing, so we will note it is only the second time that the United States has been on such a high alert status.
That's right. This seems to be connected with the Hajj, the period of the pilgrimage to Mecca, which the Justice Department, the FBI, feel has generated some feeling about they want to have a big, big anti-American event. I found it interesting this morning, however, that the Washington Post has a headline about this new alert, and that is right over a headline on another story about a draft bill that would expand the anti-terrorist powers of the Justice Department. The draft bill would, for example, give them the power in time of emergency to investigate, to detain, and to punish suspected terrorists. So there you are. We have an alert, and then you wonder if the alert is timed in order to support the Justice Department's, Mr. Ashcroft's, desire for greater eavesdropping powers.
Wednesday, North Korea announced it's resuming operations at a nuclear reactor that can produce plutonium. Now, of course, the Bush administration said it would not begin direct talks with North Korea until North Korea begins to dismantle those operations.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any evidence to suggest this stress of the "we'll talk to you, but only if and when" strategy?
Well, you know, you tend to not deal very forcefully with a country once you think that country may have nuclear weapons. And the administration is really, at this point, desperately looking for help from the neighborhood of the Korean Peninsula. For example, President Bush has been on the phone in the past 24 hours with China's Jiang Zemin, saying that Beijing has some responsibility for preventing North Korea from developing nuclear weapons. I don't know. North Korea itself makes a show of strength and says, listen, you have a policy of deterrence. We have our own deterrent policy. And it is very difficult to figure out what to do about North Korea, especially because people keep saying, how come you're much nicer to a country which may have nuclear bombs than to one which you think someday may have nuclear bombs, namely Iraq?
Secretary Rumsfeld said a few weeks ago that North Korea should make no mistake of it, the U.S. military is capable of fighting on two fronts simultaneously.
Right.
But this raises the above and beyond the professionals of the military. Does the American public have the focus of concentration? Do diplomats and the government and the Congress, for that matter, have the focus of concentration to devote time and attention to North Korea at a time when so much is devoted to Iraq?
Well, they apparently do, because every once in a while you get these editorials saying, how come Iraq and why not North Korea? Finding it very difficult to accept the equation between the two. And the United States government, however, is aware of something which maybe not every human being in this country is aware of, that once you really have, I mean, this is a lesson that Iraq may be able to take. If Iraq today had the makings of a nuclear bomb, our attitude towards Iraq would be much different. It would be more like the attitude towards North Korea.
Mm-hmm. But that's what the administration said it's trying to avoid, right?
And that is precisely what the administration is trying to avoid, and trying to give the impression we'll do Iraq first, we'll do North Korea later. They're sending another carrier out there. They're sending more planes out there. But North Korea says, listen, if you threaten us, we know what to do. And that kind of deters us. I guess the word is deterrence. It's the word that we invented for us to apply to other people. The idea of deterring Americans is really something quite new.
Okay. Well, of course, when we were just as we got off the air last week, of course, the space shuttle Columbia was lost over the skies of Texas. So we're going to be talking about that in a moment. But that's going to open up a debate, isn't it?
It's going to open a debate, and I'm glad I don't have enough time to talk of this at length. But it does raise the question of private contracting to put up that shuttle. I think the whole shuttle plan is up for grabs now.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.